Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Lamed Hey. We are holding on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. We are at the second to last line. Umayishna. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha LeHashalom, and Shem Shav Naliyah. Also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. So we started to discuss yesterday the sugya of Kol Da'olim Gavar. So we just went through the basic idea that when there's no way to resolve an issue, sometimes Beis Din is going to say Kol Da'olim Gavar, that whoever is stronger is going to win. We went through a little bit of the Machlokas Rishonim, whether that is a psak or whether it is a siluk. But the Gemara is going to discuss today why is it that we have a couple of places in Shas where we also don't know what to do when we also don't have rayas, and yet we don't say Kol Da'olim Gavar. We say Yachlo. We say Shuda Dedaini. We say other things, but it doesn't seem that we say Kol Da'olim Gavar. So that's going to be all of Amud Aleph, all six lines of Amud Aleph. Then the on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss if a third party seizes a property that would have been subject to Kol Da'olim Gavar, meaning really it would have been Kol Da'olim Gavar, and one of these two guys is going to beat up the other one, is going to take the property, but then someone else came and grabbed it. So now what? Does that person have to give it up to who? He has no one. He doesn't know who he's supposed to even give it to. So what do we do when a third party seizes the property? Then the Gemara is going to talk about a case where a chazakah happens even immediately. Normally it takes 3 years to have a chazakah, but there's one particular case where a chazakah can happen immediately, and that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion about how to prevent a chazakah when you sell the rights to your peiros, meaning you tell a guy comes to buy the rights to the peiros of your field for 3, 4, 5 years, so after 3 years he could just say, oh yeah, the field is mine. So how are you supposed to prevent that from happening? And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to have a case of a Jew who has a chazakah, because he says he bought a field from a nachri, and instead of the nachri coming and making a macha'a, a previous Jewish owner of the field is ma'arer on the field. So does your chazakah, when you bought a field from a nachri, help klape the taina of a previous Jewish owner of the field? That is going to be the first of four different statements that Rav Yehuda has about chazakah. The other three are all in tomorrow's daf, but it's a series of statements that Rav Yehuda has about chazakah. So let's begin again. We are a second to last line, last run line, umayishna, and this is working off of what we just spoke about, which is called the olam gvar. So says Gemara, really, we're always going to say kol da'olim gvar when we don't know what to do. Umayishna mishnei shtaros hayotzim biyomechad. Why is this any different than when you have two shtaros matana? Let's imagine that's the way the Rosh Rabban says, two shtaros matana that are given on the same field on the same day, that the date in the shtar is exactly identical, and they were signed on the same day. But one shtar says that the Bailam is giving this field to Reuven, and the other shtar says that the original Bailam is giving this field to Shimon. So neither of the potential Mekablei Hasada have a better taina than the other. The Rashbam points out, and even if we happen to know which shtar was signed earlier in the day, but since they don't write the hours in the shtar itself, the way a shtar works is that the Mekablei Zocha Bisof Hayom. So even if I wrote it at 9 a.m., the Mekabel is only going to be Zocha at nighttime, that night when it's Sof Hayom. So one of them could have been written at 9 a.m., one of them at 1 p.m., and it doesn't matter. It's both the same time anyway. That's how the Rashbam understands. However, Rashi and Tosos and the Ramban, many other Rishonim, disagree with the Rashbam, and they say that the Safek is who the shtar was given to first. If you know who got it first, then he's the one that is Zocha, and the Safek is, that's what the Safek is really about. Because the Rashbam writes that even if the shtar was given to one of them before the other fellow, still we would say he's only Zocha Bisof Hayom, and therefore that's not the Safek who was given to first. The whole Safek is who he wanted to become the owner of this field, because both of them happen simultaneously. Both shtaros would go into effect at the same time. So anyway, so this case where you give give two shtaros matana to two different people on the same day, so what do we say the halach is? De Rav Amar Yachloku. Rav says the two recipients divide the field. And Shmuel says that the dayanim have to paskin who to give the field to based on their own assessment of what the right thing to do is. What does that mean? Their own assessment of what the right thing to do is. So it could mean based on who they think that this guy is more likely to want to give a gift to. So then you assume that he gave it to that person, that must have been his real kavana. But we don't say that you yachloku on a matana, because one of them is going to lose out, shalokadin. So the Gemara is asking, why is it that Rav Nachman paskins in our case, that which is a case of Safek, not like Rav and not like Shmuel? Why does Rav Nachman come up with this idea of kol dolim gvar? Here you have machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, what to do when you're not sure what to do. Either it's yachloku or it's shudda d'daini. And Rav Nachman came up with kol dolim gvar. Now the Rashbam and Rashi understand that shudda d'daini is, as I just said, that they're going to figure out who it's more likely that he wanted to give the matana to. It's an assessment of the relationships that this no-sein matana has with other people. However, Tosos in Dibra Maschul Shudda quotes Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ramban agrees with this, that shudda d'daini is not an umdun das of the dayanim to figure out a relationship. No, it's the dayanim giving it to whoever they want to give it to. That it's not based on who they think is really the rightful owner. They have no evidence who the rightful owner is, so you can't go with that at all. It's just that the dayanim like this guy better than that guy, and therefore they'll give it to whoever they want to give it to. That's what Tosos writes in Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Ayin Dalid, that shuda works midin hefker based in hefker. So it's just whatever the dayanim want. The Ramban quotes that the Yerushalmi has a lashon of shuchta l'daini, that is shochad, it's like a bribe of the dayanim. And the Ramban writes, kolomar shadayanin osin kol ma sheyirtu. They do whatever they want. V'mo v'nze, yosem yizem, neishuhu, amis betoru mitzos yitnu lo, v'nimtza shetzarach litein shochad l'dayanim, v'hu kolashon guzma. He says, if one guy is a ben Torah and the other one's not a ben Torah, they'll give it to the ben Torah. So it says, if they're bribing the dayanim with their own sweetness of personality and chayin and whatever, in order to be able to find favors of the dayanim, we'll give it to them. Obviously, you're not actually giving a shochet to the dayanim. That would be terrible if they would do that, but that's a melitza that the Yerushalmi uses, shochet to dayini, because the Yerushalmi, says the Ramban, is assuming not like the Rashbam and Rashi. Rashbam and Rashi say that they actually have to make an assessment who they think it really belongs to. But no, this is like Rabbeinu Tam, that they could give it to whoever they want. So Tosfos raises the question, so what's the meaning? That melitza, that joke hits a little too close to home, right? Shochta d'daini, you're setting yourself up for an actual shochad. What's to stop that from actually happening? It's a $1 million field. The guy's going to smear the d'daini a little bit, and then he's going to receive the field. So Tosfos says, well, if he receives a shochad from any of the Balei Din, then he's not a dayan, and ain't dino din, so then he's not able to do shochta d'daini. So if we were to catch him doing that, the whole thing is invalid, meaning it can't actually work that way with a shochta d'daini. There is a Gemara in Ksubas where the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Dalid discusses two ways of understanding this machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Right, we're not sure who he intended to give the matana to. So Rav says yachloku, Shmuel says shuda d'daini. So one way of understanding is that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Lazar that edi mesira karti, that the edi mesira the ikar, and there's a suffix who is really zocha in this matana, and therefore the din is shuda d'daini to figure out who it's more mistaver that was zocha in the matana. But Rav holds like Rav Meir that edi chasim akarti, so it's not a suffix which one. We know that both of them b'sof hayom were mekabel at the same exact time. They were both, because both shtaros were signed on the same day, and they didn't write hours into the shtar. And so it's, the chalukah is not because of a suffix; it's because they're shutvim. So that's why Tosa says that it's based on that. Tosa and the Ramban write that the kasha of the Gemara over here is really the on Rav Nachman is only from Shmuel. because according to Rav, this has nothing to do with our case. Our case is a safek. Over there, it's bedin rushal shneim, that it really belongs to. That it really makes sense that it would belong to both of them. Meaning that machlokas Rav and Shmuel is exactly that. Is this a safek, or is it that he gave it to both of them at the same time, and therefore belongs to both of them? The other way of understanding is that both Rav and Shmuel hold like Rav Elazar de Mesira Karti, that the Iker Shtar is really with the Mesira. So in the case of the Shnei Shtaros, where they're both both Rav and Shmuel would agree that it's a safek who is Zocha in the field. It's just that what do you do when you have a safek? Rav holds that Chalukah is better, and Shmuel holds that Shuda is better when you have a safek. So according to that, the Kasha of the Gemara on Rav Nachman is from both Rav and Shmuel. And the Rosh Bam explains, because there are some times where Shmuel is moda to Rav, where you would say Yachloku. For example, if you can't do Shuda, because the Dayan just has no idea about these relationships and who he likes better, or the Dayan doesn't want to decide on his own who it should go to. And therefore it's a Kasha Mimanavshech. If we're talking about where it's a case that you can do Shuda, so why does Rav Nachman not paskin Shuda? And if we're talking about a case where you can't do Shuda, well then it should default to Yachloku instead of defaulting to Kaldol and Gvar. So when do you ever have Kaldol and Gvar if you have these other two options of Shuda or Yachloku when those are possibilities? Tosos asks, and according to the Rashbam, what's the Gemara's kasha on Rav Nachman that he doesn't say Shuda the Daini in our case? Are what kind of Shuda would you do about Zomer Shalavosai Zomer Shalavosai? I couldn't judge what's in front of me and look at these people and see what kind of relationship, or even their chain or this, but I can't judge what their fathers were, which of their fathers it belonged to. So, but according to Rabbi Tam, that Shuda is just give it to whoever you want. So then it makes sense that even though you understand the Gemara's kasha, that the Gemara is saying, yeah, you could still do Shuda. You could have still done Shuda in our case also, because you could give it to whoever you want. In our case, just like give it to whoever you want. But if you say like the Rosh Bam and Rashi, that Shuda is that I really have to assess who it's more likely that he would have given it to. I don't know what happened a generation ago. I didn't even know the people. They're all dead. So it would be impossible for a Dayan to adjudicate such a case. That's one of Tosfos' rayas against Rashi and the Rashbam. So anyway, so that's the machlokas, whether we do Shudo or Yachloku. And the Gemara's kasha is, how come Rav Nachman says over here we do Koldol and Gvar? So the Gemara says a simple chilik. Hasam, by the case of Shnei Shtaros, Hayotim Yom Echad Lekalek Mekam Ala Demilsa, you can't be Mevar or anything, because you'll never know who's correct. So Beis Din has to paskin wherever they can. But Hacha, in our case, where each one is saying Shalavosai, and no one has yet produced a Shtar or Ede Chazaka or anything like that, we assume there might be evidence forthcoming. Ika Lemekam Ala Demilsa, it could be that we will one day be mevarer what's actually right over here, and if Edim come and are made who the true Bailam is, so Bezin is not going to be able Bezin should not judge it, you know, prejudge the case, because Edim might come and testify otherwise. So you leave it, you do a siluk and kol dalam gvar, and we're going to hold off on judging until all of the evidence comes in. So that's the chiluk, when all of the evidence has already come in, and it's still a suffix, so Bezin's got to do something. So that's where you can say Yachloka, you can say Shuda. That's where Bezin's going to have to paskin something. But if you know that it's very, very likely that there's going to be real evidence that comes in, why would Bezin get involved in a psak? Let them just wait a little bit, and eventually they'll be able to deal with it. The Rashbam writes over here that no edus is going to be able to be mishana anything in the case where there are two shtaros on Yom Echad. Because even if Edom were to come and say, oh, this shtar was nimsar before that shtar. Remember the Rashbam had said, doesn't matter which shtar was nimsar first. Because once they're not writing hours in the shtar, they just write a date. So it's all b'sof hayom that it's gonna take effect. So it doesn't matter which shtar. But according to those Rishonim that we mentioned before, that even that a shnei shtaros had written on one day, the Rishon that's mekabel the shtar is going to be zocha. So what do you mean, lekal lemekam elah? Milsa. Meaning, maybe there will be Edom that will tell us which star was given first. Meaning, we had a machlokas, we showed him, whether a mesira of the star, of one star before the other, would in fact tell us that that's the rightful owner, that's the real recipient of the matana. So if you say it does nothing, so I understand. There's no further evidence that we're going to ever get. But if you say that having a mesira preceding the other mesira actually helps, so what do you mean we're not going to have further evidence? Maybe someone will tell us which mesira happened first. So the Rabbeinu Yonah writes, since we know who the Edim are that saw the mesiras hashtaros, and we have the Edim, and they still haven't been able to clarify which one went first, so we assume it's never going to be clarified. The best you could do is to hope for to find the Edim. We found them, and they still don't know, and therefore we assume that it's never going to be clarified. Now this concept of Shuddha D'Daini is a basic idea, meaning this machlokas Rashi and Tosos, where Rashi writes that it's based on an umdun das of which guy he really wanted to give it to, and Tosos says no, just osa adayin kiritzono Rabbi Natam, they just do kiritzono. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rashi that it's not just osa kiritzono, that the Dayan has to look at these people, figure out what probably happened over here. So the question is, how broadly do we take that? Are there other situations where in a din Torah a dayan has the right to say, let me see what actually happened over here. Let me do my own investigation, my own feeling, my own assumptions. Or does everything always have to be done al pi the standards of evidence that we require in halacha? So the Tshuvas HaRashbeit learns from here that this is the yesod in dinim amanus, that even though Beis Din doesn't paskin mikach umdana, and if you have a shor that was that was in a near a river, another shor was dead next to it, and it had bite marks all over it, and the shor that's still alive was a muad to bite other shvarim. So all the evidence, right? Meaning these were the only two shvarim in the neighborhood. One of them has shor bite marks on it and is dead, and the other one is known to bite other shvarim. So it's all the evidence points in one direction. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Neskei Mamon, you don't say Shuddha D'Daini, that midin Shuddha D'Daini, you're not allowed to do that based on an umdana. We don't say that we know that this one bit him, but says the Rashbeitz. But if you have no other way to resolve it, meaning even though it's not going to be a raya, sometimes Shuddha D'Daini will kick in. Meaning, in a chinami, the Rambam says that that's not a raya, but we see you sowed that when there are no rayas, so then you have to make an assessment and you have to be able to figure it out. And so the poskim tried to come up with when we're allowed to do that, when we're not allowed to do that. An interesting discussion in the Achronim. Says the Gemara now, a second possible case where one would have imagined that we'd say kol dolim gvar, if kol dolim gvar is really a thing, and that is umayshna mehaditnan. Why is this any different than the Mishnah in Maseches Bab Metzia? Hamachlif para bechamar, that if someone exchanges a pregnant cow for a donkey, and he did a maisa kinyan on the chamar, it was a kinyan chalipin, so when one of them takes possession of the chamar, the para, wherever it is, now belongs to the other party. So, and then viyolda, and in between, while they weren't with the para actually gave birth. The only thing is, we do not know when the para gave birth. Did it give birth before Reuven transferred ownership of the para to Shimon, or after Reuven transferred ownership of the para to Shimon? If it was before, then the vlad belongs to Reuven. If it was after, the vlad belongs to Shimon. And similarly, v'chena mocha shivcha soviyolda. You sell your shivcha, and the shivcha wasn't right in front of you at the time of the sale. And then you go back, and she says, mazel tov, I had a baby. Well, wait, when was the baby born? Was the baby born before the sale or after the sale? Who does the baby belong to? The paro or the shivcha were not there at the time of the kinyan. So the Rashbam points out, it's interesting, we talk about when it comes to the paro b'chamar, we say machlif. When it comes to the shivcha, we say mocher. So he says there's a reason for that, because mocher means that money was exchanged. When it comes to being kona metaltalin, ma'os is not konos. Money does not affect the kinyan. What affects the kinyan? Well, you could do a meshicha, but if it was there and you were doing the meshicha on the parah, you would know if it had a baby or not. So the only way you can make a kinyan that actually is valid on and still not have the item in your presence is a chalipin. So that's why it's machlif para bechamor, because that's the only hechitimtza where a pregnant para can be transferred while it's not, the ownership of a pregnant para can be transferred while it's not here. It's the only way to do it is with chalipin. But when it comes to selling a shivcha, a human being, a shivcha is nikneis bekesef, kesef shtar b'chazaka, just like karka. So just like karka is nikneis bekesef shtar b'chazaka, shivcha is also nikneis in such a way. So when you give the money, even not in the presence of the shivcha, the transfer of ownership happens. So that's why you could talk about a case of mocher shivcha, so as opposed to being machlif when it comes to the shivcha. So anyway, so you don't know when the calf was born, or when the baby was born in the case of the shivcha. Ze omer ad shelo mecharti yolda. So the mocher of the para says, yeah, before the sale took effect, that's when it gave birth, and therefore I'm the owner of the baby. And the buyer said, no, it was after the sale took effect that it gave birth, and therefore I'm the owner of the baby. Halacha is yachloku. Now, wait a second. You're never going to know when it happened. In these cases, it could be that later, right now we have no idea what happened. It could be that later we'll find out what happened. So the chiluk we just said before, that whenever there's potential for future evidence, then we're going to say kol dolim gvar. Over here, there's potential for future evidence. We might have edim that were there at the time that the baby was born, who are going to be able to tell us, oh, it was exactly 10:32 a.m. when the baby was born, and we'll have edim that were with them at the time of the sale, and they'll say it was exactly 10:45 a.m. They'll know exactly. Evidence could still be forthcoming, and nevertheless, we say yachloku. We don't say kol dolim gvar. So this is a kashan Rav Nachman. How come Rav Nachman doesn't say? How come Rav Nachman says kol dolim gvar? Over here in the Mishnah, it says that when you're not sure what to do in these kinds of cases, we say yachloku. Now the Gemara in Bab Mitzi over there, Tosfos points out, says that the Mishnah that says yachloku follows the sheet of Sumchus. Sumchus holds mamon umuzul b'safek is cholkin. So that's why it's yachloku. The Chacham disagree. The Chacham say that up until the time of the mechira of the shivcha or the chalipin of the chamar for the para, it was becheskes by the marishonim. This para belonged to the mocher, this shivcha belonged to the mocher, and therefore we should keep it becheskes by the marishonim hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. That's the machlokas sumchus and the chachamim. So our gemara is still asking from that mishnah, because the chacham only disagree with sumchus because somebody has a chazaka. So since somebody has a chazaka, he says motzi mechavero alav haraya. However, Tosa says, let's say nobody had a chazaka, so there's no motzi mechavero to speak of, so then the chacham would be molded to sumchus. That would be a chloku. Meaning there is an ideal, and then there is a default, in case the ideal can't be worked out. And neither of those are called olam gvar. So that's the kasha. That even according to the chamim, where the ideal is, if someone has a chazaka, okay, I'm also mechaver olam gvar, and when nobody does, so we go to yachloku. We don't go to kol dolim gvar. So that's exactly the Gemara's kasha. Now the Gemara could have also asked on the shita of Shmuel, meaning we started with kol dolim gvar. So we started attacking kol dolim gvar. First we attack kol dolim gvar from the machlokas Rav and Shmuel about shtei shtaros yosem yom echad. Now we're attacking kol dolim gvar from the case of machlokas para bechamar. But we came across Shmuel's shita of shuta d'daini along the way. We could have used this Mishnah as a kasha on Shmuel's din of shuta d'daini also. Because in Shmuel's case, in the case of Shnei Shoros Yotzim Yom Echad, Shmuel said, oh, we don't know what to do. Okay, shuta d'daini. What do you mean shuta d'daini? It says over here, yachloku. It says over here, if you don't know what to do, you should do yachloku, which was exactly Rav's shita and not Shmuel's shita. So the Rashbam writes that over here, even Shmuel would be moda that you can't say shuta d'daini, because Beis Din has no way of being Mishaer when the Leda was. Meaning, if Beis Din has to be able to figure out, what does Shuta D'daini mean? They figure out who it's more likely that he wanted to give the Matana to, who it's more likely that the Paro was born while they were the owner. How are you supposed to possibly figure that out? That's not a matter of getting into someone's head. It's a matter of Metzias, of when the animal was born. That's not something Beis Din can make an assessment about. That's a great answer if that's how you understand Shuta D'daini. Meaning, if you understand Shuta D'daini is that we're trying to figure out, make an assessment, who did he want, what did he want? So then you understand that doesn't work over here. But remember, we said that Tosfos quoted Rabbeinu Tam that should the Daini means whatever Bezin feels like. So that works here too. Bezin could do whatever they feel like over here as well. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, based on what the Gemara in Ksubis Machlokas Rav and Shmuel is Machlokas Tanoim. So it could be that Shmuel is going to say that this Mishnah holds like the Shita of Tanoim that holds Yachloku. That meaning the Gemara in Ksubis associates this Machlokas Rav and Shmuel with the Machlokas Tanoim. So now Shmuel's off the hook. You can't ask any kashas in Shmuel from Mishnayos, meaning in Achnami. This Mishnah is against Shmuel. And Shmuel's going to say, and I hold like other Tanayim who are like me. So that's that's why we don't ask this on Shmuel as Shuda. But we are asking this on Rav Nachman. How can you, Rav Nachman and Amoro, come up with this concept of Kol Dalam Gvar? Here we have ways of resolving the unresolvable, and it's by either Yachloku or over here it's Dafka by Yachloku. Says Gemara, Hasam Lahai Islay Dror Demona Ulahu Islay Dror Demona. In the case of the Chalipin, the reason we're going to say Yachloku is because each of the Bali Din had some sort of definitive connection with the item in question, because they both owned the Para at some point. They both owned Mommy at some point. So the question is, who is the owner of baby? So each one has a real taina that it's possible that that baby was born while they were in possession of the mother. So it could be, and even though it could be that it will be able to clarify this later on, but in the meantime, we're going to paskin yachloku. But hacha, in the case of Rav Nachman, where each one tainas that they yarshened a boat from their father, idemar lo demar, idemar lo demar. If it was your father's, it wasn't your father's. If it was your father's, wasn't your father's. So one of them has no shaychus to it whatsoever. So we're not going to say yachloku when one of them has no shaychus to it whatsoever. The Ad Ramah explains the chiluk slightly differently. He says that machlif para v'yolda, they both have a monetary shaychus to the vlad. So you could say that there's no ramai over here. Each one is, no one knows when the vlad was born. Each one is coming to the tainus shema, and they're both being honest. I think it's possible the vlad was born before I sold it. I think it's possible the vlad was born after, and they're both possibilities, so there's no ramai. So you could say yachloku in such a case. If you lose it, you're not benefiting a ramai. But in a case with Zomer Shalavosai, one of them is a liar. So Biadai and Bezdin is going to go and say, we're going to award 50% to a liar? Bezdin can't do that. So that they have to do a siluk. They have to say Kol Dalam Gvar. Or if you learn Kol Dalam Gvar is not a siluk, but they have to go with something that's likely to land the entirety of the item in question in the hands of the rightful owner of that item. So that's the now in terms of how to actually translate drara de mamona. So we said the way we understood drara de mamona, the way the Rashbam understands, is that each one has some sort of connection to the item. That's what the Rashi writes as well. That drara de mamona is that each one has some sort of taina that they're both moda, that originally the para belonged to the first guy, now the para belongs to the second guy. So each one has a basis for which to make the taina. Rashi in Maseches Bamitzias says drara de mamona means a chisaron of mamon, that each one stands to lose something. So the Rashba says that works in a number of cases in Shas where the term drara de mamona comes up. It does not work in this case. In this case, there is no chisaron of the mamon. It's mashma from the Gemara. The case of Nachman, there's no drar demon. Meaning, in our case, we're saying that in the case of Nachman, there's no drar demon. Zelmer shalavosai, zelmer shalavosai. Now, for sure, there's a guy that there will be a hefsid to the guy whose father actually owned the karka. So what do you mean there's no drara de mamona? So that's why the Rashba writes that according to Rashi, drara de mamona must mean different things in different places. It must not always mean a chisaron of mamon. Tosos in Dibra Maskul Drara, and Bamatzia writes, drara de mamona means that the suffix was not created because of the tainos of the Balei Din. The matzav in its own right demanded some sort of clarity, even without any tainos, where Beis Din would have seen, just looking at the situation, would have realized that some sort of clarity is needed. Like over here, we don't know who the para belongs to, so even without anybody opening their mouth, they have to figure out who the para belongs to. The suffix is nolad me'atzmo, but when Beis Din doesn't have any suffix, until people start speaking up. So that's where we're not going to say Yachloku, and instead we're going to say Kol Dalam Gvar. So now the Gemara discusses what happens if you have a situation of Kol Dalam Gvar. Now that we've defended Rav Nachman, and we said that there are situations of Kol Dalam Gvar. So when you have a situation of Kol Dalam Gvar, that one guy versus the other guy, and they're just going to have it out, what if a third party comes and seizes the property? Amri Nardai, so they said in Nardai, if you have a case of Kol Dalam Gvar, Imba Echad Min HaShuk, if a third party comes from the Shuk, that he's not shaykh to this whole discussion, he's not saying Shalav Osai, it's this guy saying Shalav Osai, Reuven says Shalav Osai, Shimon says Shalav Osai, and Levi says, oh, I see they're fighting about it, let me just grab the boat. And he takes the boat, V'Hechzik Ba, Ein Motzino Samiyada, we don't take it away from him, because how could you take it away from him? You don't know who's he supposed to give it to. So even though he knows it's not his, but it may not be theirs either. It doesn't belong to anybody. Meaning the Rashbam says, like someone goes into a field where you don't know who the owner of the field is, that Bezin can't be Motzi Miyado, because maybe nobody's the owner of the field. Maybe it's Hefker. Maybe it belongs to neither of these parties. So the Rabbeinu Yonah writes that the reason is because it could be that the true Balakarka is going to be damaged by the fact that one of these guys that are arguing about it is going to be awarded the field, because they come with a taina. So I'd rather have this third party, who knows that it doesn't belong to him, hold on to the karka, so that, or to this boat, or whatever it might be, whatever they're arguing about, so that when I show up, I'll be able to get back my stuff, as opposed to Reuven and Shimon, who both claim that it's Shalav Osav. That's going to be a much more complicated situation to try to take it away from them. The Rashba and the Ran write that the reason we're not Motzim Miyado is because he could say to each one of them, Lav Bal Dvarm Didiyat, that who says you're the rightful owner? Now, normally you can't do that. Normally, if there are two people that are arguing about something, you're not going to be able to say Lav Bal Dvarm Didiyat. I mean, you can say to each one Lav Bal Dvarm Didiyat, unless they join together. Meaning, if they write a Shtar Harsha to each other, where each one authorizes the other one to make tainas on their behalf, so then this third party is not going to be able to say Lav Bal Dvarm Didiyat. But over here, the Tosfos points out that you can't do that either, because one of them is for sure a liar. So he could say this is a partnership of evil that you're creating over here, because one of you is for sure a liar. So you can't say Lav Bal Dvarm Didiyat. So anyway, so that's the in Ardoi they said that Ein Motzino Samiyata, we cannot take it away from him, this third party who we know for sure isn't the owner. Titani Rabbi Chiya Gazlan Shel Rab. Because Rabbi Chiya taught someone who steals money that belongs to many people, and we don't know who it belongs to. There's no way to track down the people, the Nigzalim, Lav Shmei Gazlan. He's not considered a Gazlan. What do you mean he's not considered a Gazlan? He didn't do anything wrong. You're allowed to steal from the Rabbim? No, it means that Bezin cannot be Motzi the Gzela Mitachas Yado. We can't do anything. If a guy steals from one of five people, and he doesn't know who he stole from, he doesn't know who the Nigzal is, and each one tainas that it's Shalihu, so then Bezin will be Motzi the Gzela Miyado, because he for sure stole from one of them, and he for sure has to return it, Tosfos points out. The chilik between that and our case is that over there, at the time that he stole money that definitely belonged to one of them, and the suffix was only afterwards which one of these guys was it. So Bezin's going to be Motzi Miyado. But over here, even when this third party came in, when he initially took it, he took it misafik. The suffix was there even when he initially took it. So we're not Motzino Samiyado. So that is the Shita of Nahardai and Rabbi Chiya. Third party comes in, we know he's not the owner, we're not going to take it away from him. Ravashi Amar Liolam Shmei Gazlan. Ravashi says, no, someone who steals money that two people are disagreeing about who the owner is, and neither of them has a raya, and neither of them has a chazaka, and a third party comes in and he knows it doesn't belong to him, and he goes and takes it, he's a Gazlan, even in the sense that we will be Motzi Mitachas Yado, and we'll have to, you know, put it back in front of the original two parties and let them fight it out. Meaning we go back, Kol Dalam Gvar has to happen. So we take it away from this third party who definitely doesn't belong to, and let the first two guys do Kol Dalam Gvar. Umay lo shmei gazlan. What does it mean when Rabbi Chiya says that lo shmei gazlan? Shlo nitan liyishavon. It just means that since a gazlan has a responsibility to be meshivas agzela to the truth, the true rightful owner, and he doesn't know who the true rightful owner is, so he's not able to do the mitzvah of hashavas agzela. So that's what it means that he's lo shmei gazlan. Cheskasa. So now weiter in the Gemara. Now we move on to another discussion. Cheskasa shol shalom yom liyom. We said that a chazaka is supposed to be 3 years miyom liyom, 3 full years. So says where there's one case where a chazaka could happen immediately. Amar Rabbi Abba, idali le'iu gufei tzana depiri. If Edim verify for us that the ma'arer himself lifted up a basket of payrolls from the field and put it on the shoulder of the machzik, helping him gather in the payrolls from this very field, and then that guy who was helping him gather the payrolls is going to say, no, it's my karka. No, the altar of a chazaka. That's a chazaka right away. The Ma'arik cannot taina that he didn't sell it, because why are you helping him gather the payrolls from the field if the field didn't actually belong to him? The Rishonim point out, lav dafka, helping him pick up a basket of payrolls onto his shoulder, anything, any help he's providing him in the field would qualify. That's why the Rambam in Hilchos Toin V'Nitan and the Torah in Chosh Mishpat say that the Ma'arer helps being malakit payrolls from the field on behalf of the machzik. So what, they're arguing? They have a different taich in the Gemara? Maybe they're taich the words differently, but they're not arguing, meaning anything you do is going to take away your ability to make a taina later on. So because as Rosh Pam points out, if you didn't sell it to him, you shouldn't have helped him with the payrolls. You should have made a macha'a. That's why he loses his ability to make a macha'a. Rabbeinu Chananel writes that the Edom are made that the machzik gave the ma'arer a basket with payrolls as a gift for that he took, you know, as if he's sending him a gift from his own house. I mean, Rabbeinu Chananel Taka has a different interpretation. Not that the ma'arer is helping the machzik take a basket of payrolls and put it on his shoulders, or pick payrolls and do something in the field. The machzik sent a gift basket to the ma'arer, and the ma'arer said, oh, thank you so much, that's so nice of you. What do you mean, thank you so much, so nice of you? You stole from me, and now you're sending me as a token some of the stuff you stole from me? If you're willing to accept that gift graciously when he sends you a gift basket from the field, that's a raya, that it's not yours, and that you're no longer able to make a macha'a. That's how Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted in the Rashbam. The Rashbam doesn't like it, because the Rashbam says, look, it's a hatzala porta. All the payrolls he's taking are my payrolls. He's willing to send me a gift basket, so at least I got back some of my payrolls, so I'll take it, you know, but that is that a raya that I'm not able to make a macha'a anymore? So that's machlokas between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Chananel. So Amar Rav Zvid, v'im ta'an, v'amar l'payrolls haraditiv ne'man. But if the guy says, the Ma'arer says, yeah, I helped him with the payrolls because I sold him the rights to the payrolls. That was the deal. I never sold him the field. I sold him the rights to the payrolls. So then he's going to be believed, and he's not going to lose out based on that taina. The hani mili betoch shalosh, but that's only within 3 years. Avaliachar shalosh, but after 3 years, that the other guy has a chazak on the field, and the ma'arer wants to taina that, oh, is the payrolls a raditiv? I only gave him the rights to the. He's an aris. Lo, he's not going to be believed anymore. Samalei Ravashi Ravkana. Wait a second. Once the machzik is in the field for 3 years, I'm not going to be believed to say leperos eraditiv. So what happens if it's actually true that Leperos Radim? How am I supposed to prevent someone from getting a chazaka in my property if I actually sold him 5 years worth of payrolls in my property? So Amr Lei, so Rav Kana said back, Ibai Leilim Chuyei. You need to come make a macha'a every now and then, and you know, macha'a, it doesn't have to be a big deal. Go over to two Edim and say, the field is still mine. It's still just the payrolls are additive. I'm still just renting it out for the payrolls. Dilote mahachi. If you don't say that you have that ability to make a macha and therefore undo whatever potential chazaka the other guy is going to make, well, hani mashkanta desura. When you have a mashkanta desura, a guy owes you money, and instead of just taking a regular mashkon and waiting for him to pay you back and giving back the mashkon, you do mashkanta desura. You take his business and you take all the profits from that business until it pays off the loan, and then you just give him back his business. So the kasa, which is a special takanas chachamim called the mashkanta desura. So the kasa buhu, there's a shtar that's written, and the nusach of a shtar of mashkanta the surah is b'mishlam shenaya ilain tepuk ara da b'lo kesef, that at the end of these years, this karka is going to go back without any money changing hands, because now it's time for you to repossess your land once I've gotten paid back. Well, ikavish le shtar mashkanta gabei v'am lekuchu biyati hachinami d'mehemen. What's to stop the malve from keeping that shtar, hiding that shtar somewhere, and saying, it's my business, it's my property, I have chazaka on it. So mitkin rabbanu midi daspe de pseida, the rabbanu are going to make this takana called mashkanta de sura that's going to cause such extraordinary loss to the person where it's so ripe for being taken advantage of. No, Eli by Lilim Chuye. It must be that within Meshkanta Tesura there's an assumption that you always have the ability to make a Macha'a. So Hachanami by Lilim Chuye. So over here also, you have the ability to make a Macha'a. Meaning the Shaila of the Gemara was a case where the Malva is going to hide the Shtar entirely, and after 3 years, he'll say that he purchased the Karka. That works only if it was the Ramban points out, that works only if we forgot that originally it was Bali Yado B'Toras Mashkon. If we Everyone remembers that it was Bali Yado B'Toras Mashkon, and then there's no Havamina that you'd be able to. The whole Gemara's Kasha is that you're going to be able to claim it's yours. But if everyone remembers that when you originally received it, it was B'Toras Mashkon, you're not going to be Neman to say that that it's yours. So that's how the Ramban understands the Gemara's Kasha and Teretz. Other Rishonim are not so sure about that, but we'll leave it at that for today. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the various statements of Rav Yehuda as it relates to Chazaka. Have a great day, everybody.
Yes, thank you.
Good to see you.